The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt. Over the next couple of hours, go a lot of different directions. Todd Walsh is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes with Fox Sports Arizona, the Coyotes and Diamondbacks reporter. We've not really focused on the start of spring training on one hand. The other hand, the Coyotes have just kind of sat there circling the drain. What's going on with Dave Tippett's team after another loss last night? The 1980 Olympic team Friday night will be part of what they do with Fox Sports Arizona's broadcast. I want to talk to Todd Walsh about all those things. It's Letter of Intent Day. I have my own Letter of Intent Day story I'm going to share in a couple of minutes. Today I became a father of a Letter of Intent signer a short time ago. But Manny Wilkins is going to join us today, Arizona State's jewel of their class, four-star quarterback, will join us from California talking about making it official and becoming a Sun Devil today. Also in today's show, in about 45 minutes, Kyle Allen is going to be with us. Here's a great story, I think. Number one high school recruit in the nation at his position at quarterback, right here in Arizona at Desert Mountain High School, is going to Texas A&M. Yeah, he's the guy to replace Johnny Manziel, exclamation point, or is it question mark? Is he going to be Manziel's replacement? He's already left Desert Mountain, is already on campus at Texas A&M here on Letter of Intent Day. So there are a lot of things to get into with Kyle Allen. The pressure of being, in some people's opinion, the guy to replace Johnny Manziel here in Texas A&M. He'll join us coming up. Looking forward to that as well. A lot of different directions to go on today's show. You can always hit me up on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. And as mentioned, great to have AZ Central partnering up with us now. Appreciate their group and everybody involved on that front, Mark Hyland and company. Eric joins us now, our Facebook question of the day. But before we get into the question, so today I was a letter of intent dad. My daughter is a senior in high school. She signed her letter of intent in front of about 300 students this morning at her high school here in the Valley, at Basha High School, to go play soccer in Chicago. It was a very cool deal. All the other kids thanked their mom and dad. She didn't thank us at all. Should I be offended? Is it just it's a typical teenager?
I'd be a little offended. I mean, she did put, you did put her in a position to gain a scholarship to go play soccer.
Well, she had to go do it herself. I'm the one that ended up sitting in bleachers for the last, 10 years. If you're a soccer parent, anybody listening or watching, if you've been a parent of a kid who's gone on to play beyond high school, it doesn't matter if it's junior college, NAIA, Division III, it doesn't matter. The fact that they're still playing a game beyond high school, it's a marvelous feeling. It's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing feeling I don't have to pay X amount of dollars because she got a scholarship not only in sports but also academically. Yeah, I'll be the first to admit that. It's pretty cool today. My wife and I might go out tonight and go to In-N-Out and celebrate. I don't know. But beyond that, Eric, it's that she's still playing a game because as you get older, the games go away and life comes at you. So that's pretty cool today.
Definitely. Yeah, not a lot of kids get to continue their athletic career past high school. So you're one of you're in the minority there. So congratulations.
And I know your Facebook question is about Letter of Intent Day.
Of course, it has to be. I mean, what's the biggest story going on, not only here locally, but around the country? It is National Letter of Intent Day. And if you listen to what the so-called experts are saying, Arizona State and U of A both have recruiting classes in the top 20 to 25 range. So today's Facebook question, Brad, it's pretty simple. We ask you, how much stock do you put into what the insiders, experts say on Letter of Intent Day? Because we know for every five-star recruit that turns out to be Jadeveon Clowney, there's a five-star recruit that turns out to never play, bounce around to junior colleges, and basically just disappear into obscurity. You can go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/sports360az. Like the page, share your input. There's a question up there every day. Again, facebook.com/sports360az.
Well, I can weigh in on this. You and I are both, I think, college football fans. We're big on the game, and we both like being out of high school games. We see the stars of We see guys that have gone on that have played in the NFL here on high school fields in Arizona. Terrell Suggs, seeing him. Brett Hundley is going to be one of those guys. And we can continue on with names right down the list. Trent Murphy is going to be one that actually ended my son's career. And that's a true story. But I'm not mad at him. So remember when John Elway's kid, Eric, came to ASU on National Letter of Intent Day? This was during the Erickson era.
Yep, great example.
Jack Elway rolls in, and you would have thought, and ASU didn't even take another quarterback in that year's class. And the people around ASU's football program, first of all, I've never had somebody around ASU's football program tell me on Letter of Intent Day, oh my gosh, did we screw up? The kid can't play dead. He has two left feet. Today, Eric and I will be over at Arizona State this afternoon, and they will unveil their recruiting class. And then tonight I've been invited to go to a dinner that Todd Graham speaks at, and they will break down the tape in front of all the boosters and all the alums. And really what it is, it's just 4 hours of, we didn't screw up, we're the smartest people in the country, and every one of these guys is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, in fairness to Arizona State, as Eric brought up, there are mistakes that are made all the time on Letter of Intent Day. All the time. And then there's guys that are brought in that just kind of, we got this guy over here, Pat Tillman. He'll be all right. Maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's Jake Plummer guy, kind of a skinny. And then through the years, you know, you get, as mentioned, the Jack Elway, I think, is a perfect. Michael Eubank. Hey, how many of you were geeked up on Letter of Intent Day for Michael Eubank? Last night I had dinner with a big ASU guy, a big recruiting guy, and he wouldn't leave me alone. He just wanted to go through all the names and all the players that are coming in this year. And yeah, I'm excited. We're going to have their quarterback, Manny Wilkins, on in a few minutes. Everybody tells me Manny Wilkins is going to play beyond college. It's great. Today's a day to go rah, rah, rah. If you're an Ohio State fan and you hear that Michigan beat you for a recruit, you're not happy. If you're an Auburn guy and somebody goes to Alabama or vice versa, you're not happy. If you're a high school coach here around the valley, you're letting everybody around the state. Remember when Chance Cox came down from Blue Ridge? Oh, my gosh. I had people saying, Blue Ridge, tell me about Blue Ridge. What type of high school is Blue Ridge? Chance Cox, oh, my gosh, this kid's amazing. This kid's a beast. Yeah. It's a big day for high schools, too, to say, look at us. Look at how many guys we sent on. The event I was at this morning at my daughter's high school, they had 20 kids sitting up there. Six football players, six soccer players, softball players, swimming. It's terrific. It's great. But it's also a big day of marketing and hype. So how much do you really put into this stuff? And I don't put too many experts on this show. The ones I do are usually more right than wrong, because they're all wrong. It's like Mel Kiper saying Ryan Leaf can play. You know, it's one of those deals. Facebook.com/sports360az.com. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports now. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. You pull on down that slot, and you have big winnings. Big winnings. It's great that we've got weather coming into the state. It's great that we're seeing some snow hitting the ground, or maybe this weekend more snow. The Sunrise Ski Resort, they've been making snow, so if you've been wanting to head on up and get some skiing in, some snowboarding, some sledding, whatever it may be, it's at the Sunrise Ski Resort. You stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. That is the place to stay. Sitting here in the middle of the week, what a perfect idea. Wherever you're listening to the show around the state or outside of Arizona, you come on into the Honda Resort and Casino. You have some great food, great fun, enjoy your day, and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. Todd Walsh here in about 10 minutes. But and I'll have much more on Letter of Intent Day. Larry Fitzgerald restructuring his contract yesterday, was not a surprise to me. Because he had said during Super Bowl week that he would be open to doing something. We don't know the number exactly. We do know that Patrick Peterson is going to be in line to get a big deal. We do know that Carlos Dansby is somebody that they need to re-sign. I think if you look up and down their roster from a cap management standpoint, you always have to go into every offseason looking at whose number can be reworked, whose number can be renegotiated. And Fitz is on the backside of 30, okay? So the career is, while he was a Pro Bowler again this year and while he's terrific at a high level, I think any guy that wants to win, and this says a lot about Fitz and his belief in where the Cardinals are. The Cardinals are the division that's like the Southeastern Conference of pro football. where you just beat up on each other. They're in the best spot between Alabama and Auburn, so to speak. The Cardinals are like between Seattle and San Francisco. I can make that comparison. If you think the St. Louis Rams are just sitting around off to the side, heck no. I've been saying since they made the RG3 trade, look out, because if they don't screw up on those picks, give them a couple of years, and they're going to be tough. So for Fitz to say, hey, look, I'm going to get back some money. I want to stay in Arizona. I believe what's going on here. You could have made the simple case of, well, let's see if we can work this out. Well, we couldn't work it out, so we're going to go a different direction. I don't want to see another Anquan Boldin deal. So, yeah, you absolutely. I think from the point of it speaks well that Fitz would want to get money back to keep guys here. That's great. Everybody gets excited about that. That's the easy side of the story. I think the bigger side of the story to me is, the bigger takeaway is, he's not on a team. I don't know of him wanting to sit and be on a team that is not going to go anywhere or have a chance to go anywhere. So it says to me, I believe in what's going on here, and I believe we can compete with San Francisco and Seattle. And myself, I believe they can too. They just can't screw things up here in the offseason. And to move forward that quickly with Fitz, that's very impressive. And that's a two-way street too. So there's the deal on Fitz. The letter of intent day side of things, ASU is having a terrific day. They've now landed Dalvon Stuckey, big-time defensive tackle, one of the top junior college players in the nation. He gave them a verbal this morning and signed today. So they have four of the top 25 junior college players in the nation coming to ASU. And for those of you that bag on junior college players, you really don't know your football. So we'll get more into that as we move on. Suns didn't shoot well last night. Coyotes didn't play well last night. Coyotes haven't played well in a while. I'm kind of getting grumpy with them, so Todd Walsh needs to swing on by. Fox Sports Arizona Coyotes and Diamondbacks reporter. Where are we at here with Dave Tippett's team? And Todd covers the Diamondbacks too. Get in on that. Manny Wilkins, ASU four-star quarterback recruit at the bottom of the hour. And Kyle Allen, the replacement for Johnny Manziel, question mark. We'll have him in about 30 minutes. Desert Mountain High School star. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports on Twitter and White Mountain Radio.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Oh, yeah, they played well. They beat us. I mean, they played better than us. We made just a couple mistakes, and those couple mistakes cost us. They get the power play goal and ties it back up. That's a big goal for them, tie it back up. And we made one more mistake. That happens.
That's Shane Doan, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, on AZ Central Sports now, and on Twitter, White Mountain Radio, all sorts of different ways of taking the program. Now, we heard Shane Doan over the weekend get grumpy and not happy with his teammates. Todd Walsh joins us now, Fox Sports Arizona Coyotes Diamondbacks reporter. They have a big deal with the 1980 Olympic team on Friday night. The Blackhawks are in town. It's a big night. We'll get to Todd on that in a minute. Okay, so you've known Shane for most of your adult life. Is that fair to say right off the top?
Yeah. I've spoken to him more, Brad, I think, than most people in my family, if you add it all up. So, yes, that is correct.
Yes. So if we were talking about frustration level with the organization, not top to bottom, but play on the ice, where would you say that he is right about now?
I think the other night after the Buffalo game, I actually thought about this driving home from that one, that the soliloquy he had after that game, I thought was on par with and maybe even greater than what we saw at the conclusion of the Western Conference Finals against the LA Kings a couple years ago, where he just went off on Dustin Brown on the officiating. But I thought this one was a little different, because that to me was the conclusion of a series, of a season, the finality of it all, and I think you can understand it. This was about a sort of a are-you-kidding-me moment, a disgust in what was going on around him, that they let two more points dissipate to the worst team in the league, the Buffalo Sabres. So I remember thinking that. I told him the next day that he parted my hair, because I walked in, Brad, and he had the dome face that we refer to on when I walked into the room. He stood up, as he always does. The captain, he's very respectful of the media. No one's better at it. We all know that. But he was almost hyperventilating, waiting for us. When we got to him, there were still some players in the room. I think they were curious to see what he'd say, because I know that he had just unloaded on them. And he spoke, I thought, to them through us and through that part in my hair. So last night certainly wasn't that, but it was the other night, and it was a very difficult time from the Buffalo game to the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, and we played that sound on Monday's show, and I was saying, I've never heard him like this. Obviously, you're there 100 times more than I am, but what are they going to do here, Todd? It's not one of these deals where, well, we'll have to see how it works out. They have the break coming up for the Olympics. They have a couple games. You've got the Blackhawks rolling in here, and we'll get to what you're doing on that here in a minute, but what do you think big picture is going on here with this team?
I don't know. Everyone's scratching their heads, and I think it's one, part of it's the age-old sports phenomenon. I've seen this 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways. It seems like where teams play to the level of their competition or opponents play to the level of their competition, but that's just a flimsy excuse at this point. The thing that drove me nuts last night was they knew when they took the ice, Vancouver had lost 5 in a row. Give me a call the next time Vancouver loses 5 games in a row the rest of the way here. They knew they had a chance to get above that line and set themselves up nicely going into that break. I think Craig Morgan of Fox Sports Arizona asked this the other night, but of Dave Tippett, are you concerned that this is essentially who your team is? I mean, you keep talking about fixing it and doing this, that, or the other thing, or in execution and winning battles, but are you now to the point where this is who your team is? And his answer was fascinating. He said, "We're not sure. Maybe it's part of that." So if you're a guy that loves playing in Phoenix and loves the whole setup here, and you're a professional athlete, what's Don Mahoney going to do, and what's your future going to be like? So this is an amazingly critical time right now. And what is this team? Who are they? And what's the future going to be in terms of the trade deadline? I know all those questions are going to start coming up if they are where they are right now. In a few weeks, scary for this was a team. I think we all thought the goalie was going to carry them and put them in a loftier spot, and they're so within striking distance of sixth or third in the division, sixth in the West. But it feels like they're miles away.
Well, they're what, ninth this morning? Is that right?
Yeah. And look out, Winnipeg's here, and we were in Winnipeg when they fired their coach, and I just happened to walk into the Paul Maurice press conference. Just because we just arrived to the rink, and I went, "Oh no, here comes structure," and they're on their way. So it's going to be a fascinating run to the end of the regular season. It'll be high drama as always.
Todd Walsh, Fox Sports Arizona's Coyotes and Diamondbacks reporter, with us for a couple of minutes. I'll just ask one last question on this: are we at a point, that this happens in sport where an organization? Not to shake things up, because that doesn't feel to me like Don Maloney's style or Tippett's style. But do you drop the bomb on somebody that says, okay, this is where we are and we're not going to go much further? Are we to that point yet?
Well, he said that a while ago. He said, look, I would love to make a trade. I would love to do something to make a statement. But the problem is this year in the NHL with the salary cap constraints and a number of other issues, economic issues and trading and getting back and all the things that are far, far over my head. It's very hard to do, really hard to do, especially for a team in the place that the Coyotes are and matching with somebody else. So I think he would have done that a long time ago. I really do. I really think he would have tried to make some sort of a statement. But they're kind of handicapped in that regard. But the frustration level on that side of the business is certainly mounting, and I think if he can figure out a way, they will do that.
Because Tippett's job's not in jeopardy. I've had some fans ask me about that.
No, not a chance. But you do have to consider this, Brad, that you've got young owners who have said over and over and over again the only reason they bought in on this thing was the stability on the hockey ops side with Don Maloney and Dave Tippett and his staff. And in no way am I insinuating anything other than stability there and a great relationship. But now for the first time in 4 years, there's actually another entity that you have to talk about and consider. You have to say to George Gosby or Anthony LeBlanc or that group, so what do you think? I mean, that suddenly is a part of the equation, and it hasn't been that way for a long time. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics that we haven't really witnessed out here in a while.
Well, and that's why I've been asked the question about Dave because of the new ownership group. And I think that's not even close to happening. It would be beyond logical at this point. But
no.
when you do have new people in the room, you just don't know. I've said many times on this show, most sports owners are crazy. You just have to give them time to show how crazy they are. Most of them are nuts, and most of them want to see an ROI immediately. And we'll just see.
You nailed it. I mean, and these guys, again, that is on the record. And I asked them a lot. I asked them at the town hall meeting we had the other day out in the parking lot before the game in Pittsburgh, which blew my mind. These guys would spend time with 300 fans outside before the biggest game of the year. But I do ask them a lot. So how are you handling this, you know, the roller coaster? Because it's one thing to have a team for the first time and you go through a couple of games and they've won three in a row and they've lost two. Now you're into it. I mean, and it's that ride that they've never experienced. I think George Gosby said to me the other day, I never realized what this was, you know, winning and losing was like, and it hurt this much. I've never cared this much about a hockey game. So you're in. Here we go.
Right, right. What are you guys doing on the Olympic team on Friday night?
I still can't believe it's happening. It's been a lifelong obsession for me. It's been this is just personally that I've been tracking this team since I was 16 years old in upstate New York in a driveway playing street hockey and mimicking the games that were being played. And once I got into radio in 1987, I decided every February I would call a different guy on the team and just celebrate it and talk about different angles. So now all of a sudden I'm looking at, it's now 11 guys from that team are going to be in town to be introduced on the ice, along with the other Olympians. I think Chicago has 10, Phoenix has four. It's going to be a pretty powerful moment to go out there on the ice and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is where it all started. Here they are, and end it with Michael Ruzzioni. I'm hoping the roof goes off because I know it'll be standing room only. But we have a one-hour pregame show. Fox Sports Arizona was great to allow us to do that, and we are attacking it with all kinds of different angles. But we will have Mike Ruzzioni on the set to talk about the moment. And I'm not going to focus as much now on what happened then, because I think because of the movie and because where we are now, some 34 years later, everybody sort of knows a lot of the stories. I'm more interested now to see what these guys are like in the year 2014 and what they think of the legacy that they created is. And there is a clear and distinct path the league took after Herb Brooks did what he did. And I'll just say this on my soapbox, it wasn't just one game. It wasn't just an upset. They had to become that team. They had to become the Soviets in so many ways and how they played to beat them. And that's how they beat them. They probably wouldn't have beaten them 9 times out of 10. One for sure they did. But they changed so many things in the league and how the league was played, and they brought a style and a certain substance, and that's what I want to track. And there's a Lombardi effect too, that, and I know you can appreciate this. They all hated Herb Brooks, mm-hmm. but now in their late 40s, 50s, or whatever they are, I want to find out how they really feel about that guy and what he did for them. Because you've talked to guys from the Green Bay Packers in the 60s, and they wanted to punch Lombardi in the face every day, but now they, you know, they tear up and just the thought of him. So I think that's going to be a part of the tone and tenor that I hope to get out of some of these guys on Friday night.
You know, the thing with it, Todd, is when you're not the History Channel, you know, you're doing sports, but you're also doing sports around guys that are in good shape. When I see like the 30-year anniversary of a Super Bowl team and the guys are beat up, banged up, don't know where they are, lost everything in football, hockey guys, for the most part, as I see them, because the sport is just a pure, clean sport. There's an underbelly to every sport, okay? But I think in hockey, those guys, when I see the players on that team, still look fairly good, still are having a good life experience beyond that.
Yeah, they are. And I just saw a tweet from Mike Ruzzioni last night that he had landed in Phoenix for 3 days of fun with 10 teammates, I think he said. And I just thought about that. I'm like, how cool is that? I mean, they were asked to come out here. The Coyotes wanted to make this happen, but they're living off of it, and I think that's wonderful. What better way to have a cool thing happen in your life and still be able to bear fruit from it? But they're going to hang out here in Phoenix. They're from all over the country right now, and it's a core group of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. 1980 in 2014, and right now they're probably out golfing as a group and having the time of their lives. And I say more power to you. That's unbelievable. And I really hope the people that are in the building that night give them their proper due, because I have to introduce them. And one of the things I'm going to say is I don't think we'd be standing here in this building, in this state, in the desert with a National Hockey League team, if not for what these guys did in 1980 and all that it spawned. They paved the way for that. So I kind of hope people let them know that.
Yeah, well, that'll be great stuff. I'll let you go off that. Have a good show, and I know I'll see you around Diamondbacks, too, at some point this spring, and we'll see you soon.
Brad, thank you. I appreciate it. This is a labor of love. We can't wait to do it. We'll see you at 6 o'clock on Friday. If you can join us, that'd be great.
There's Todd Walsh, Fox Sports Arizona Coyotes, Diamondbacks reporter. Up and down season for the Coyotes, but really, the 1980 Olympic team Friday night, that's going to be cool, and the Blackhawks are in town, so we know it'll be 90%. No, I shouldn't say that. It'll be 70% Chicago Blackhawk fans and 30% Coyotes. That's how it usually works. It is National Letter of Intent Day. On the other side, Manny Wilkins is the star recruit for Arizona State this year. Four-star quarterback coming to ASU. I think he's coming into a good situation when you see where guys are in years in terms of graduation and, of course, transfers. So we'll talk with Manny Wilkins. Kyle Allen in about 15 minutes. Former Scottsdale Desert Mountain High School quarterback. He's now at Texas A&M. Is he Johnny Manziel's replacement at A&M? He's already left high school and is enrolled at A&M on this letter of intent day, already in class. That's still ahead as we roll on a busy Wednesday. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Some interesting news from the NFL that we'll bring in a little bit. Their new television deal is out. They're going to have NFL games on Thursday nights, not just on the NFL Network. All that for you in a couple of minutes. Plus, the Suns' disappointment last night against the Bulls, the latest on the Pau Gasol trade talks with the Suns. As we continue on a busy Wednesday, Brad Sussmat with you on Sports360AZ.com, on AZCentralSports.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Greg Biggins was with us earlier on National Letter of Intent Day on the college football scene with Scout.com, one of the preeminent guys in the business, known Greg for over 20 years. I asked him about Arizona State's class and how it starts with quarterback Manny Wilkins.
He definitely is the headliner, you know, he's a four-star quarterback who can do a lot of different things on the field. You know, he's a pro-style guy with some dual threat ability, real good athlete, moves around, strong arm. He's a leader. So, I mean, it's pretty much the Sun Devil staff has worked really hard. They've done a nice job identifying guys early and just grinding. You know, as far as the guys, I mean, DJ Calhoun could be the best linebacker in the West Coast this year. Early USC commit, kind of backed off after the coaching change. I like him a lot. Connor Humphrey's the kid who just tore up the Army All-American Bowl practices. His defensive end, D tackle, can kind of go either spot there. Jamal Scott, kind of one of my bigger sleepers out on the West Coast.
That was Greg Biggins with me earlier. Manny Wilkins joins us now for a couple of minutes. ASU quarterback commit. When did you fax in your paperwork?
7:01.
Mm-hmm. So you, thanks for coming on, by the way. I know this is a great day for you. 7:01 San Marin High School. Did you do it right there? Did you do it from home? Did you go to a UPS store? Where'd you do it from?
I'm actually at my uncle's work in San Francisco here in the Transamerica building.
That's not a bad spot. Take that. Good little view of the bridge, right?
And I'm just, very fortunate to have my uncle here through everything we've been through, and, you know, really wanted to have him there with me on this special day.
Okay, so you committed, it was last summer, wasn't it, or even earlier, right?
Yeah, last summer.
You got it out of the way, so here's a day, Manny, where there are guys today, and we see it every year, where they're just grinding themselves into a pulp. They don't know what to do, if they should sign with this school or that school. From your point of view, getting it out of the way and figuring it out, how much pressure was taken off of you to do it early?
I would say that, you know, it's not so much of a pressure thing. I look at it in a very positive way and realize that, you know, I'm very blessed to be in the position that I am in today, because there's a lot of teenagers and even adults out there now who wish they could be in the position that, this class and myself are very fortunate to be in. But I really think it was very key, especially being a quarterback. I really push being a leader, and I really want to become a leader of a program in the future and here in the near future. And, you know, like I said, I get to learn behind TK and Coach Norvell and that offense. And, you know, it was just really good for me to get on board early, so I can start, you know, getting the guys that I really want to be Sun Devils to, you know, come along with me. And, you know, that's kind of what we did.
Manny Wilkins with Brad Sussmat, quarterback commit. I was already sent in his letter. He is now a Sun Devil on this letter of intent day for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. You mentioned TK. How much did Taylor Kelly help you during this past season, if any? Did he just kind of leave you alone? Have you two had an open line of communication?
I actually talk with TK, you know, a few times a week, you know, just to touch base and, you know, see how everything is, you know. Like I said, you know, I've kind of been a part of this family for a while now, and, you know, we're really close, you know, and I can't wait to, you know, get out there and, you know, here in the summer and really learn from him and, you know, try and become a great quarterback as he's shown he can do and, you know, do what Sun Devils want me to do and, you know, just go out there and, you know, every day just compete.
If you were to walk in today to ASU, you and into Todd Graham's office, how much of the playbook do you think you would know just by watching?
Good amount, you know, not really play calls or anything like that. I've watched, you know, every single game that has been broadcasted on ESPN, Pac-12 Network, anything. I've watched it multiple times and, you know, from different aspects, you know, looking at offense, seeing what they're doing scheme-wise and looking at defense and see what the defense scheme-wise is and then, you know, the first time, you know, you just watch it for pure enjoyment. But, you know, I really crack down on that stuff, you know, because I'm just very anxious to get out there and, you know, really take over and try to take that spot over. Because, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to go out there and, you know, say, oh, just because I'm redshirting, you know, I don't really need to work as hard as, you know, TK or Burko is working. I'm going to go out there with the mentality that, you know, I can start my freshman year and, you know, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen, but, you know, having that mentality is only going to push me and make myself work that much harder and, you know, really benefit for the players around me.
Yeah, you're two heartbeats away. I mean, come on. Anything's possible. Yeah. I've seen freshmen come in and say, no, I'm not going to play this year, and, you know, half of a half later, two players in front of them are done, and then they're playing, and the rest of their career, they never look back, so... You're right about that.
Exactly.
You just can't come in with this, I'm going to sit around on the sidelines and hold a helmet. That's not happening. All right, so tell me how much of this is true, that you were out helping recruits, okay? So how much recruiting have you been doing the last 6 months, really? Because I've heard, boy, Manny Wilkins has really been helping. And then there's others like, well, yeah, he's made a couple of calls or something. Have you really been helping out?
You know, I kind of don't look at it as, you know, me doing recruiting. I'm just sending a message pretty much. And, you know, I feel really honored to have the opportunity to even conversate and, you know, acquaintance myself with some of these top players in the nation and stuff like that. I mean, and even the guys that we don't land, you know, it's just that relationship and that connection that you have, that will lead, you know, through on here out, because not every player is going to stay at their school. That they find here on NLI day for all 4 or 5 years. So just having that connection and having that bond with those guys is really key, you know, peer just for the future. But I mean, you know, I've talked to quite a few guys, I can say, and, you know, the coaches, you know, kind of just tell me who they want me to go talk to. And, you know, I do it. You know, I think it's just something that I love to do pretty much. It's not the fact that I'm going out there and I'm just trying to be a recruiter and stuff like that. I'm just really trying to, you know, just be a part of the team and, you know, help out as much as possible.
So I'm going to throw a name at you of one of the recruits that has not signed yet today. Have you talked to Kalen Ballage?
I was just texting him 2 minutes before you called me. You know, I talk to him pretty frequently. The only reason he's not out there and signing right now is because his school had a snow day, so they're all snowed in there in Colorado.
So there's a lot of buzz on Twitter right now. I'm glad you brought us up to speed on this. You're ahead of it more than I am. That with him sitting there today with a snow day, that it's not good for Arizona State. Do you have a sense about Kalen Ballage's recruit right now? Do you think he's going to sign with ASU?
I'm very confident that he will. You know, I think he's a spectacular athlete and, you know, and an even better young man. You know, he's somebody I really do adore pretty much as a person. You know, he's a high character person and you know, a really great football player, and it's exactly what Sun Devil Nation and, you know, this program really needs, guys like that. And, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, whenever he does sign that paper, whether it's tomorrow or the last day of NLI Day, that he'll be a Sun Devil.
Last question, I'll let you go. Are you coming down? Why didn't you enroll early? And because some guys do. I'm having Kyle Allen on here in a minute. He's already at Texas A&M. Did you consider coming down to ASU and getting enrolled?
I did. And then, you know, I kind of just, I really wanted to play basketball my senior season. I've been on basketball varsity team since my sophomore year. So I kind of, you know, owed it to my coach and owed it to my teammates not to let them down and just walk away from the program like that. But I mean, you know, I think it's I still have, you know, a little maturing to do as a person and, you know, and still as a football player. And, you know, that's kind of was my thing. I just wanted to enjoy my senior year as long as possible. And then, you know, best believe that when I get down there 2 days after I graduate, that, you know, it's going to be time to go to work.
Sounds good. I think that's great that you're enjoying some other sports and enjoying your high school years. You'll never get them back. Appreciate the time, Manny.
Definitely.
Look forward to meeting you down the road. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
It's Manny Wilkins, 2014 ASU quarterback, commit signing today with ASU. Kalen Ballage, I mentioned him, the running back. For those of you that are big ASU fans, that is a big name today that's sitting on out there that is not signed yet, as Manny mentioned, Snow Day, but kind of interesting that he believes he's going to sign with the Sun Devils. On the other side, Kyle Allen has already left Desert Mountain High School. He was rated the number one quarterback in the nation. He is already in college, and Johnny Manziel is leaving for the NFL at Texas A&M. Is Kyle Allen Johnny Manziel's replacement? What has Johnny Manziel advised Kyle Allen in getting acclimated? And why did he leave school early and all of that on this Letter of Intent Day show? Brad Sussmath with you, sports360az.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. On azcentralsports.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmath.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, Brad Sussmath on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmath, C-E-S-M-A-T. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So general manager Tim Hovick and I have seen each other through the last several years out at sporting events. It doesn't matter if Tim's on the sidelines at an ASU football game, basketball game, if he's at a Cardinals game. He's even into the high school scene as well, because he knows, and Santan Ford knows, that families are a big part of what we do. When we're out at high school games, the Santan Ford folks, they're out. When I'm driving around in my Ford Fusion, the Ford Fusion, you saw the Super Bowl pregame show, was the Ford Fusion Super Bowl pregame show. It's the hottest car out there right now. I fit in at 6'8". For me, 20 years in the Valley doing my thing, the Ford Fusion gets me around in comfort, luxury, and style. The command center makes a lot of sense for me, and today I'm going to go from here to the studio to Arizona State for their signing day to work on a couple of stories, and back just in time for my daughter's high school soccer playoff game. It's a busy day in front of me, but I'll be doing it in the vehicle. That makes a lot of sense for me. That's the Ford Fusion at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, it is all about you. Kyle Allen joins us now for a couple of minutes. Desert Mountain quarterback who is now already at Texas A&M. Here's the interesting story. There's a lot of interesting things about Kyle Allen to me, and I was telling Eric this. It's Letter of Intent Day. There was a trend that started, I'd say, about 5 years ago where kids left high school in January, to get a head start, and that's fine. I have no problems with that. I think it's very smart on their part. Kyle Allen goes to Texas A&M, and on Letter of Intent Day, I have to imagine it's just absolutely crazy down there, but I wanted to have him on for a couple of minutes. Now, you did not have to fax a letter across campus today, did you?
No, I actually just about last November, I signed my, I'm not sure, it wasn't a letter of intent, but it was like my financial aid agreement, and I came home from like hanging out with my friends at about like 11 o'clock. My parents were like, hey, sign this piece of paper on the kitchen table, and I signed it. I went to bed the next day. Next day, I get a tweet saying that I sent my paper in to officially be with Texas A&M. I had no clue, so, I mean, I didn't do anything big with it or anything.
So there was no, like, signing day at Desert Mountain High School where all your classmates are there watching you. It was just that paper, and before you know it, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really feel like that was necessary. I mean, people already know. People congratulated me for committing there. I told everyone that when I committed, I was going to be 100% committed to a school. So it's not like signing day really mattered. It's almost just legal stuff at that point.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion, Kyle, that actually you're probably the right person for me to ask this to. Would you have preferred having signing day be like last August 1st, just to get it over with and enjoy your senior season?
Well, I think it would be good for them to offer like a different type of signing day that day. Like they don't really have a signing day for mid-year guys or guys that want to commit and get it out of the way and not have to worry about constant recruiting. So I think maybe if they added one then and have still the same one in February, I think it would be a lot better for recruits, just so if they want to be done with it and over with it, they can get it done.
How did you handle the guys that didn't want to go away even after you said, hey, I'm going to Texas A&M? How did you handle that?
You know, there was a couple of guys that did it, a couple of schools that did it, but the school that did it I had good relationships with, so it wasn't like they were calling me to recruit me the whole time and saying, hey, come here. They're calling me to check up on me, see how I was doing, and then they throw in their little recruiting spiel, but it'd be mostly just to keep the relationship going, because I got some good relationships I've created with coaches not at Texas A&M, and I want to keep those up.
I like that, the little recruiting spiel, which means, yeah. Hey, come on, consider us. Please don't go.
Exactly.
Let's work this in. You're like, come on, dude, I'm done. I'm finished. That's funny. I like how you put that. What's it like on letter of intent day at Texas A&M? Is it any different? Are you in the football office seeing the letters come in today?
I haven't been in the football office. You know, I've been busy with classes and such today, but I went through our football complex quick, and there's cameras and stuff everywhere. All the coaching staff upstairs, you know, it's a big deal for the coaching staff and all the guys that are signing today. But I mean, other than that, it's not really a big deal for anyone else. Everyone else is going about their business and doing their own thing on the football program. But I mean, it's a big deal to officially get the kids on the team, and no surprises today that anyone was flipping or going anywhere else. So it's a pretty big deal up at the complex today, though.
It's yourself and Quaylen Cunningham from Hamilton that are at A&M. Am I right on that? Local guys, Arizona guys?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. I just want to make sure on that. So I've had all these questions asked of me. Do you think Kyle Allen is going to be Johnny Manziel's replacement? I am not you. I don't know. But there is that perception of fandom out here in Arizona, and I'm sure you know all about it. Tell me about how you've handled those types of questions.
You know, I just handle them like I handle any question anyone's ever asked me. You know, I just give them a straight, honest answer. You know, right now, at this point in time, there's no clear answer for who's going to start here. You know, we just started doing our own player 7-on-7 stuff, you know, so we're out here getting work in. But as of right now, it's more of learning the offense, learning the way how things move, and gelling with the new guys out here than really finding out who's going to be the starter. I mean, that's not up to any of the players. That's up to the coaches. So until they decide, it's their decision. But I can't give anyone a straight answer on that because I'm just not sure.
How many quarterbacks are there on the roster?
Right now, there's 6 quarterbacks on roster, 3 that are on scholarship.
And today, are they signing any more, do you know of, or just you?
Yeah, it was just me from this class.
From this class. Okay, so 6 total. Have you met Johnny Manziel? I've had that one asked of me.
Have I met Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met Johnny a couple of times before. He was out in Oregon for the opening, so I spent some time with him there. And then when I was out here for my visit, I spent a little time with him here too. But you know, other than that, like the day I got here to start coming to school, it was the day he left for San Diego to start training. So I haven't seen him since I've been here at all. I'm sure he'll be back for his pro day, and I'm sure he'll be around after he's done training and stuff. But it's been a while since I've seen him.
I'm figuring I should get the Johnny Manziel questions out of the way on February 5th of 2014, because you're probably, if you're not already sick of them, going to be sick of them.
They're no big deal. I get them all the time.
Is that about right?
Well, it happens when you have the most exciting college football player arguably to ever play the game at your school and just leave. I mean, you put them on the map, so I field them gladly.
you can throw them at.
Have you? That's good. No, that I like that. I think that's very funny. Kyle Allen with us. Have you had anybody try to weasel their way to Johnny Manziel through you? Meaning, hey, can you get this signed? Or hey, do you know him? Or hey, we have a party. Have you had any of that stuff happen yet?
Oh, I mean, I've had some of my friends mess around with me back home, like, hey, text Johnny for me, like, send Johnny a picture of me, like, tell him I say what's up, but it's like, they're just messing around, you know. I've never had really anyone, like, seriously try and do something like that yet.
Yet. I'm glad you said yet. Why couldn't you get Mark Andrews to go there? Or did they not recruit him? Why couldn't you get your teammate to go there? You two are thick as thieves.
You know, Mark, they recruited Mark pretty hard here. They wanted him pretty badly, but Mark has Mark's brother actually goes to Oklahoma and is in there for grad school, medical school there. So his grandpa lives like right around Norman, and he just felt like a real family atmosphere there. And that's exactly what I felt here too. I felt a family atmosphere. So I totally understand his reasonings for committing there. You know, he wanted to feel safe and at home, and he felt like that with the coaching staff. So it's just where he ended up, where he felt the best fit. So I'm happy for him.
How would you describe College Station, Texas, to people?
Well, to people in Arizona, it's a lot different. You know, it's not like city life in Scottsdale. It's not like the top restaurants everywhere and stuff like that. But here, it's just a lot more culture. A lot of people who really care about their culture, care about their beliefs here, and people who care about everyone around them. You know, the people here are just amazing people. Everyone comes with you to open arms looking to help you and stuff, and that's really been good for me, man. They've been very, very welcoming to me. Everyone been here, I've never had anyone come up to me and say anything rude or anything like that. I mean, the people here are honestly just awesome, family oriented people, and that's one of the main reasons I wanted to come here. I wanted to come here and be part of a big family of people who really did love each other here.
That's good. What are you majoring in?
Right now I'm in communications, which is just kind of what they threw me in. But I'm probably next semester going to switch into marketing. Yeah, I know. That's what I get every time I tell people I'm in communications right now.
That's fine. But, I mean, getting thrown into communications, I got thrown into communications 30 years ago. So I get it.
Yeah.
Well, look. It sounds like you're doing well. I appreciate the time on this letter of intent day. I think your story is very interesting and is going to have many, many interesting chapters yet to come, and hope to visit with you more down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
You got it, Kyle. Stay well. There's Kyle Allen with us for a couple of minutes at Texas A&M. So on this letter of intent day, the number one quarterback in the nation has already left his high school on letter of intent day. He's already enrolled in college. And that's one of those trends. When Brett Hundley did this and left Chandler to go to UCLA, there was a bit of a grumpy, I don't want to say backlash, or just saying, oh, you should, you know, stay around school and enjoy school. You only get to go to school once. Yeah, I understand that. But at the position, and he came back and he walked anyways, when you're at that position, just go. Learn at that position, especially in the spot. Like, E, you know the Allen family very well, okay? Let's not sit here and keep secrets. You know them very, very well.
I do.
And I've known this kid for a long time.
Yeah, I've known Kyle's dad for close to 15 years. I remember when Kyle came up to Mike Allen, his dad's kneecap, and now to see him as a 6'3", number one rated pocket passer in the country, possible Johnny Manziel replacement at Texas A&M. It's a pretty fascinating story to me.
Can you look him in the eye and say you're overrated? Do you have that type of relationship with him, or?
No, I don't. I don't know Kyle as well as I know his dad Mike, but just being around Kyle, and as you just heard, he doesn't necessarily carry himself like a 18-year-old kid. He gets it a lot more than a lot of pro athletes that we deal with get it.
Well, the last two guests, I mean, Manny Wilkins is signing with ASU, and Kyle Allen, they both sound like CEOs of Fortune 500 companies.
And the thing is, Brad, I mean, they, you know why? Because they're around the media. I mean, they've been around the media. These high-profile college football recruits have been talking to the press for probably the last 2 or 3 years. They've been doing interviews. They've been going on radio shows, going on TV shows. And it's good because when they get to college, the rush is not going to leave. They're probably going to be swamped even more for their time than they are right now.
Six quarterbacks at Texas A&M. I just think I hope the best for Kyle Allen. I just think, and I've had a lot of coaches, not just in Arizona, but around the country, say if you're a quarterback in Texas, you're going to go play for Texas A&M, or you're going to go play for Texas, or you're going to go play for TCU, or you're going to go play for Baylor. I hope it works out well for him. I'm not doubting that it won't. It's just there are those. They're not hating. It's just,
they should have stayed here. He should have been a Sun Devil. He should have been a Wildcat.
It's fine. It's fine. You're not going to keep all them. Number one quarterback in the nation at Texas A&M right here in our own backyard. Sports360AZ.com on this Letter of Intent Day. We have so much content on Letter of Intent Day, not just football, but a lot of sports today on this Letter of Intent Day signing their deals. And azcentralsports.com, they have plenty of content as well. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, @BradSusmat on a busy Wednesday.